This recording, Pennsylvania 11, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onuroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory, so she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure." So, growing up in Pittsburgh was really nice because I've always kind of thought of it as like an underrated city. Like, it's small enough where you feel safe walking wherever you want to, especially when, obviously when you go into the city, than it would be to, go into New York City, be so overwhelmed because there's just so much. There's a lot of art there. The area I grew up in was primarily, a upper middle class white area. It's a lot different than it is in the city, and there isn't really, a specific way people sound where I'm from, Upper St. Clair, but if you, go into the city, you hear a lot of, weird words, yins, which is just, it's y'all or you guys, so it'll be hey, did yins guys watch the Bucks game, and the Bucks are the Pirates, they're a baseball team, and my family from my dad's side have that kind of accent in the way they talk. My grandmother, for example, was from West Mifflin, and that's a little bit outside of Pittsburgh, but they really have that yinzer kind of tone of voice and way of speaking, which is kind of cool, but also, kind of weird. We have a dictionary called the Pittsburghese Dictionary, and it has a bunch of different words about that, you wouldn't hear anywhere else. Chip-chopped ham is just sliced ham. Don't know why it's called chip-chopped, but that's just what Pittsburghers thought it was called, so... Yeah, it's a really cool place. There's a lot of art. It's a really historical place. I love going downtown. It's one of my favorite things to do. We have a lot of famous people from there. They never come back, but they were there at one point. Mac Miller, Wiz Khalifa, Michael Keaton. Yeah, and there's a lot of movies filmed there too. The Andy Warhol Museum is there, which is really cool. I felt very safe in the area I grew up in. There's no crime right there, so we never had to worry about anyone breaking into our house or anything, which was really comforting, I guess, for an anxious little kid. The only thing is that you can't really walk anywhere where I'm from. It's very spread out. You have to drive everywhere, as opposed to our neighboring township where they have an area where you can just walk everywhere. They don't even have school buses because it's all very closed together. So that's something I always envied growing up, is being able to let's walk to the coffee shop down the street. You can't do that in Upper St. Clair. But the schooling was really nice. I never really had any problems. People were always pretty nice. I got a good education, I think, there. In my hometown, me and my friends usually would just see a lot of movies and get a lot of food because there's actually a lot of restaurants in my area. Most of the time we would just go downtown and like do something. We can take the T downtown for like $2, which is the train. And you can take that downtown and get off and just walk around if you want. You don't even have to like spend any money other than like the traveling. And most of the time we would kind of just hang out at each other's houses because, like I said, you can't really walk anywhere. So when you can't drive, it's like, hey, mom, can you drive me to Andrew's house? And we're going to watch a movie or something.